to be here this evening. We're going to be in Psalms chapter 121. You thought I was going to say 119, didn't you? Now we're moved on from Psalm 119. Go to Psalm 121. I'm going to read the entire chapter, and tonight we want to look at the subject of the upward look. The upward look. Looking upwards. I don't know where you look when you get into trouble, or what the direction of your look is when you get into trouble, when you have problems in this life, but it needs to be an upward look. That's what the psalmist is talking about here this evening. Psalm 121, we'll read all 8 verses. He says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. He says in verse number 1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. He's going to look, he has an upward trajectory when he looks for help. And he's looking upward. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, you know what is on the hearts and minds of each and every person who is here this evening. You know what they're going through. You know what they're dealing with. Lord, we pray that you would help us tonight to get something from your word. We pray that we would be built up in the faith and be strengthened by your word. I pray that you would guide my thoughts and guide my words and help me to say what is helpful and needful this evening. Help me to forget anything that is not necessary, Lord, and to strike it from my memory. Lord, I pray, God, that you would help us all to have open minds and open hearts and open ears to receive your word, and we'll thank you for it. Lord, we give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Looking at the upward look, I don't know where you look whenever you get into trouble or when you have problems in your life, because we're all going to have problems. We're all going to have difficulties. You can't get around it as much as you want to. As much as you might try to avoid problems, you're going to have problems. I don't care what it is. But I think that we all know the power of media. It's very important anywhere. It's important what you look at. I read a statistic in 2018, $151 billion were spent on advertising alone. Why was it spent that much money? Because what you look at affects what you buy. If you look at things, you're going to want those things and you're going to spend that money. And so the advertisers know, if I can put those things out in front in people's view and they can see those things, well, then they'll buy those things. It's important what you look at. Whenever you drive into town, you see billboards going up and down the sides of the roads, and they're trying to get you to buy something. They're advertising something to you. They want you to stay at their hotel. They want you to eat at their restaurant. They want you to use their credit card. They want you to do all of those things. Why? Because it's important what you see. If you can see those things, you're most likely going to buy those things if you're interested in them. And so it's important what we look at. Media informs, it influences, and it shapes our lives in a very powerful way. It not only shapes our lives and our minds, but it also shapes our hearts. What we see shapes our hearts. Where you look at gives an indication of your heart, but it also shapes your heart. That's why you need to guard your eyes. Be careful what you look at, because it can have an effect on you and me as well. That's the power of an image. That's the power of media. It shapes you. It changes you from the inside out. Jesus Christ himself knew this principle very well, and he was talking to his disciples on the Mount of Olives, and he talks about what his disciples were looking at in life. He was saying, don't be worried about your life because God is going to take care of you. He says, the light of the body is the eye. He's saying, be careful. Oh boy, this fly. He's saying, be careful about what you let come into your eyes. He says, if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. He's saying that you need to have a single focus in life. And it's important how you view where you get your provisions from. If you were to study out the context of what he's speaking about there, he says, don't be concerned so much about your life. Your heavenly Father has that all under control. If God is going to clothe the lilies of the field, and he does it beautifully, and he does it wonderfully, isn't he going to take care of you, his children? Be careful what you look at and how you observe the world and how you view the way that you get your provisions, because your heavenly Father is going to take care of you. He also said in that passage that attempting to serve God and riches was impossible. He said to keep their eyes upon the Lord. Where are your eyes at this evening? For salvation. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe you're having trouble in your life. Where do you look? Jesus Christ was talking to Nicodemus. And he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He's saying, hey, look to Jesus Christ, the man on the cross, the sacrifice for the sins of the world. Look to him and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. That's where we need to look. That's the hill that we need to look to. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I wanted to point that out. This is a psalm of degrees, or a psalm of ascents, it says there in the heading of your chapter. A song of degrees. This was a song when the children of Israel were heading towards Jerusalem. They were going up towards Jerusalem. And they would look to the hills. And that's where they would see their salvation. It's a song of degrees. They were on a journey. Maybe they were having some kind of problems. Maybe they were coming out of captivity and they were going to Jerusalem. And they were looking to Jerusalem and they're saying, that's where God is. That's where the presence of God is. That's where the temple is. And so he says, I will look to the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. So he kept his eyes focused upwards to the hills, and his heart was established, and he found strength, and he found the help that he needed because he was having a tough time. He says, from whence cometh my help? That says that he's having some kind of problem. Some kind of danger was out there. As Christians, we are on a journey. We're going somewhere. We have a destination. We're not just wandering around with no destination in mind, mindlessly going through this world. No, there is a destination at the end, and I want to encourage each and every one of us to look to the hills, to look to God, to look upward, to have the upward look. Because if you and I keep our eyes focused on earthly things, the things that are down here upon this earth, your circumstances, riches, money, worldly things, you know what you're going to do? You're going to get very, very discouraged. Because you're going to have problems. Hey, you're going to have some kind of health problem in the future. You're going to have a death in the family. You're going to have some kind of discouragement. Something is going to come your way, and you're going to look somewhere for some help and for some sustenance and encouragement. I want to encourage you tonight to look to the hills. I want to encourage you tonight to look to God. I want to encourage you tonight to look to the creator of the hills, not just the hills, but the creator of the hills, the God who made the hills, your creator, because he does care about you. Amen. Look to the hills. The upward look is the only way that's forward. Tonight, I want to look at the upward look. It reveals that God is there in two very distinct ways. Two very distinct ways. We could say three, but I cut it down to two. And then we're going to look at three ways we can have an upward look. How are we going to look upwards? If we're supposed to be looking upwards, how do we do that? Well, this evening, we're going to look at how the upward look reveals two ways that God is there. He's there. Number one, it's the presence of God. The presence of God is there when you need Him. And then number two is the protection of God. Now, we could say number three, the preservation, but we won't. The presence of God and the protection of God. He says, I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. He says, it's the presence of God that is there that is going to help me in the tough times, in the times of trials, in the tough times. You're going to need the Lord. Amen. You're going to need somebody because the tough times are coming. The upward look was beyond the hills to the God who made the hills. And he's looking up there and he's looking towards Jerusalem. It's an upward look that he's looking at. Jerusalem was an upward trajectory. Anytime that you left Jerusalem, you'd go down. There were seven hills there with Jerusalem, surrounded by hills. The Mount of Olives, all of these different hills were there, and he was looking upward. His God was there. The temple was there. The temple worship was there. The presence of God was there. And he was looking there on his journey, and he was saying, there is my help. My help comes from God. It's an upward look. I'm looking to Jerusalem because I need my help. There is where God is. God had chosen to put his name at Jerusalem. Jerusalem was God's chosen city. His presence was there. And the psalmist says, boy, I know if I can keep my focus not on my problems, not on the enemies that I face, but I can keep them on Jerusalem where God is there, I can find my help because there is the presence of God. And God was going to help him, not only when he got there, but on his way there. On his journey towards Jerusalem, the presence of God was going to go with the psalmist. That is where God dwelt. The presence of God accompanies his children in every task that we have. You're in a life this evening. You have the Christian life that you must go through. And God has given you something to do. He's given you some tasks. He's given you some jobs. He's given you some work to do in this Christian life. We all have work to do. Did you know that God's presence accompanies everything that he has given you to do? You are not alone in the work that God has for you to do. God has told us to go out and to be witnesses for Him and to evangelize and preach the gospel, and God will accompany His church as they go out and witness. The presence of God goes with us. You're not alone. Jesus Christ was sending out His disciples. We could call it the Great Commission in Matthew chapter number 28, verses 19 to 20. He says, go out and preach to all nations, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. Amen. He says, I'm going to go with you. You're not alone in this task of evangelism and preaching and teaching. I'm going to go with you. So the Spirit of God accompanies evangelism and He goes with us. We're not alone in this task. Jesus Christ was speaking to His disciples again in Matthew chapter number 10, and He says, beware, because you're going to have to go before kings. You're going to have to go before some people, and you're going to have to speak to them. But He says, don't worry about it. The Spirit of God will help you to say what you need to say. God will go with you and help you to know what to speak and to know what to say. Do you ever get into a situation sometimes where, man, you just don't know what to say? I have plenty of times. But did you know that whenever I'm talking to someone about the Lord, it seems like God always puts a word in my mouth to say something. You know, He just gives me something. And you know, that's the Holy Spirit, and He's accompanying. He's going with us as we witness and evangelize, because the Spirit of God goes with us. The presence of God, again, will accompany hardships and trouble, because we're all going to have hardships and trouble in this life. Did you know that God is going to be with us through all of those hardships and help us in those hardships? Jesus Christ, again, was leaving. He says, I'm going to go. John chapter number 14, we all know the passage. He says, I'm going away. I'm going to prepare a mansion for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, but don't be troubled, he says, because I am going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send somebody with you to help you through your trouble. He says he's called a comforter. In the Greek word, I don't know Greek, but it's called paraclete. Paraclete. You know what paraclete means? It means someone that comes right up along beside you and will help you and comfort you along the way. Because the disciples were fixing to face a lot of trouble, a lot of persecution, and a lot of heartache. And Jesus said, hey, you're not in this alone. I'm with you. Comforter's with you. Each and every one of us. You're going to run into some trouble. You're going to run into some problems. But there's a promise in the Word of God that the Comforter will come right up along beside you, and He will help you and give you comfort in your times of hardship, in your times of trouble. Amen. The presence of God is there with you to help you and go with you. You know, a lot of times you think that you have friends in this life. You think that you got somebody there to help you. Kind of like Job, we've been speaking about, our dad's been teaching about Job in Sunday morning and Sunday school. You know what Job said about his three friends? Miserable comforters are you all. You're not very much help to me when I needed help. Did you know that you could never say that about the Holy Spirit? You could never say that about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is always there to help. You know what you need to do? Look to Him. Look to Him, and He'll give you that comfort. He's there with you. The presence of God accompanies that, those hardships and those troubles in life. The presence of God will accompany our service. We all have service to do. We all are commanded to live holy lives. We all are commanded to live in fear of God. We all are commanded to obey God. And God accompanies us in that service. Paul the Apostle, again, speaking to the church at Philippi, says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Isn't that an encouragement? God will help us. His presence goes with us in our service for Him. Whatever God commands us to do, He will equip us to do. He accompanies us. And again, the presence of God accompanies, number four, holiness. We mortify the deeds of the flesh. How? Through the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that helps us. We walk in the Spirit so that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Hey, the presence of God is there with us in this Christian life. It's going to be rough. I'm not painting a pretty picture for you where, man, you're just going to, no problems whatsoever. It ain't going to be that way. You're going to run into some ups and some downs. You're going to hit some failures. You're going to hit some brick walls. You're going to hit obstacles. And you're going to be thinking to yourself, how in the world am I going to make it? Trust me. I hit Him every day. You know what I have to do? Look up. Ask God to help us. His presence goes with us. Look to the hills. The next upward look reveals, number two, the protection of God. The psalmist was on his way to Jerusalem, and he got a promise from God that God would protect him on his journey all the way there. The upward look revealed the protection of God. He says, verse number 3-6, "He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night." The protection of God went with the psalmist. And he got protection from the Lord because he kept his eyes focused like a beam, a laser beam, right to God. He had the protection of God. There's many dangers on the psalmist's journey. There's times that he was going to slip and lose his footing. He says, the Lord is not going to suffer me to be moved. He's going to keep me from slipping and falling. Anybody here ever been mountain climbing? Went down a mountain one time, not up. That's probably the best way to go if you're me. A lot of people like to go climbing mountains and hanging off the sides of cliffs, and I think they're crazy. But the psalmist is going up some hills. You know what you encounter in the hills? You encounter wild animals. You encounter thieves and thugs. People waiting in the shadows wanting to get you. You encounter valleys. You encounter tough climbs. And the psalmist says, God is going to be there to protect me and to help me. I'm going to keep going. I'm going all the way. The psalmist says, God is there to protect me. The upward look reveals the protection of God. God was going to protect him. Even during the day, the sun was going to beat down on him. And he talked about the moon at night. And he says, hey, God is going to overshadow me and be a shade for me. Wow. Thank God for that. There's a lot of unknowns. He didn't know what was going to happen when he was going up the hills. There's a lot of unknowns in life. There's a lot of thieves and thugs. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that the thief cometh not for to steal and to kill and to destroy. A lot of pitfalls, things that you can slip into and get into. But did you know God is going to protect each and every one of us? Now, I'd like to make something clear here this evening as we go on. God promised to protect the nation of Israel, His covenant people, in a physical way in the Old Testament. His covenant people were promised that physical protection as long as they obeyed His covenant and did what He told them to do. But we are not His Old Testament people. We are New Testament people, and God has not promised us every physical protection that there is. Amen. Talk to the Apostle Paul. He lost his head for Jesus Christ. He wasn't claiming the Old Testament promises that the Old Testament saints were claiming. The New Testament saints get spiritual blessings from God. We get spiritual protection from God. That is promised to us, not the Old Testament promises. We have spiritual protection, and God offers us that assurance. Nothing is going to take away our salvation. We are not going to lose our soul. God is going to keep us saved. We are kept by the power of God. He is keeping our soul. Now, you might run into some problems in life physically. You might run into some sicknesses. You might lose your life. You might end up in a car wreck. Those things might happen. God forbid. I hope nothing happens. I hope everyone lives until they live to be 100. God so chooses. But did you know that you have eternal life and God has given it to you and He is not going to take it away? He's going to take you all the way to glory. He's going to protect your soul. Nothing can take that away from you. He is the keeper of your soul. The Apostle Paul again says, I know whom I have believed and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. He had no doubt in his mind. I hope that you have that same assurance here this evening and that your mind and your eyes are fixated upon the God of the hills. He is the keeper of our soul. He's also the keeper of our heart. Does your heart ever get droopy? Does your heart ever get hard? Does your heart ever get cold? And does your heart ever get sad? That happens to all of us, every one of us. We have someone we can go to for help. Paul the Apostle again, have to keep going to him. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He's the keeper of your heart. So we have that protection from the Lord. He's going to get us all the way. Look to Him. That's why we come to church. We come to church so that we can get that reminder all the time to look to Jesus Christ, to look to the cross, to look to Him. He's the keeper of our hearts. We have the armor of God to protect us. We have those enemies, the world, the flesh, the devil. The world has all of its enticements that wants to pull us away from Christianity and from Jesus Christ. We have our own flesh that is against us, but we have a God who is great. If we are going to have that upward look, how do we do it? How do we look upwards? Well, the first thing that we need to do if we're going to look upwards is we're going to have to look up in faith. That's the only way that we can look up. We have no other avenue. We have no other means other than to look up in faith. We can't see God. We can't see Jesus Christ. He's not going to come walking through the doors and shake my hand. He's not going to do any of that. We must look up to God in faith. The psalmist couldn't see God either. All he could see was the hills. And he says, man, my faith is in the God of the hills. And I'm looking upwards, and he was looking in faith. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. If you're going to look for God, you better look up in faith. Hey, don't look for a sign. Don't look for an audible voice. Don't look for something else visible. Look to God in faith. Jesus Christ was talking to his disciples, and he was telling them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. They're looking for something visible that they can see, but you better look to God in faith. That's all the avenue we have. Look to God in faith. Read the faith chapter. All of the great giants of the faith, they couldn't see what was coming. God said, hey, Noah, go build an ark. It's going to rain. He'd never seen rain before, but yet he went ahead and built the ark. He hadn't seen it. He looked through eyes of faith. Abraham, Noah, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Rahab, all of these people believed God in faith. They looked in faith. Do you have that upward look of faith here this evening? That's the God-ordained way for us to seek Him. Number two, we must look up to God in prayer. The upward look is a look of prayer. That's the way that we manifest our faith, is that we pray to God and we look to Him in prayer. Prayer is an expression of our faith. We are acknowledging our weakness and our frailty and our neediness before God. We have nowhere else to turn from God to God, but to God. We have no place to go. When you pray to God, let me tell you something. You go straight to the throne room of God. You're right there before God, and you are unloading every burden and every care and every problem that you have right there to God. Amen. That's the upward look. Amen. When Jesus Christ was teaching his disciples to pray, he says, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. That's where he's at. You pray to him. We have total and complete access. We can go straight to him in prayer. The upward look is a look of prayer. We pray to God in heaven. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. We have a God who cares. Number three, we can look up to God in love. The upward look is a look of love. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 2 says, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. You know what happens whenever we fix our gaze upon things down here on the earth and we don't think about the heavenly things, we don't think about God and we don't think about Jesus Christ and where we are going to spend eternity, we get discouraged. We tend to backslide. We don't look to God like we ought to. Look to God. It's a look of love. We must set our affection and our love on things on the earth. Why? Because the things down here are not going to last. They're only temporary, fleeting. They're going away. Everything that you see is going to crumble one day, including this pulpit. One of these days, it's going to be a pile of rubble. Did you know that God is the most real thing in the world? You know why? Because He's going to last forever. Amen. From now on, forever, for eternity. What's going to happen to your body? It's going to turn to dust one of these days. What's going to happen to these pews you're sitting on? It's going to be an old pile of rubble one of these days. What's going to happen to this building? It's not going to be around forever. You thought it was real, and yeah, it was for a while, but then it's gone. But God lasts forever. That's where our gaze ought to be fixed, and that's where our love ought to be. It ought to be up there in heaven, where we're going one day. where our loved ones are at. It says in Titus 2:13, it says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of a great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. You know what Paul was saying to Titus? He was saying, Titus, you need to teach your people to keep their eyes fixated upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what you do when you do that? When you keep your eyes focused upon the return of Jesus Christ, you live more holy, you live more righteous, because Jesus Christ is coming back. Keep your eyes upward towards the Lord. Apostle John gave us a warning in 1 John chapter 2. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Why? They're all going away. They're all going to vanish. We must keep our eyes focused upon the upward look. The upward look reveals that God is really all that you have in this world. Which way are you looking? What is the trajectory of your look? If it's downward, boy, you need to adjust your view, get a better view. You're not going to get any help, not any real help, from down here upon this world, this earth. You must look to God. Look to Him in faith. Everything else vanishes. Everything else goes away. Don't just look to the physical creation. Don't just look to the hills. Look to the God of the hills. Adjust your trajectory and your view. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,